Hello, everybody. It is Saturday, June 18th, 2022, and I once again have that distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure of welcoming you to episode number 263 of the Ordinary Podcast, Polynerdic.com's weekly nerd-centric life and culture podcast for adults. As always, I am your ordinary nerdy host, Shad, and let's just get into what we have to talk about this week. My stuff, like I always like to begin with, this week is pretty limited. You know, I had my kids last weekend. We celebrated Father's Day. They got me some cool minis to paint, and they also got me a stuffed beholder. I am a 39-year-old man who loves to get my hands on some dorky plushies. So I got a plushie beholder tagging on my lamp over there by my painting station. And I got one of the booster boxes, one of the older booster boxes of some random minis. Got myself a nice red dragon, young adult red dragon, which means I can take my unpainted red dragon and make it a different kind of dragon. And I already know what I'm going to do with it. Had a good Father's Day weekend. We didn't get to swim. We had a bit of a kerfuffle on Sunday involving swimming. Storms rolled in. People were upset. It was a sad day on Sunday, but I think we righted that ship by the end of the day. We did watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. I really enjoyed that movie. I don't know what the general consensus was with it, because I typically just stay away from things like that, unless I'm like truly, truly fascinated with what the discourse may be. But after the previous Ghostbusters movie, the one that had the female leads, and I use the word female, I don't like that, women leads, and personally, I didn't finish that movie. I started watching it, and it just wasn't digging it, and it had nothing to do with the fact that it was women. I know that's a big issue on the internet. A lot of people assume if you didn't like that particular Ghostbusters movie, it's because you're a sexist idiot. I just didn't enjoy it. I really enjoyed Afterlife, though. I like that it was a direct sequel to the original, which, admittedly, I did question that decision, that it seems like the second Ghostbusters movie just didn't happen, because there's all sorts of references to, you know, people looking at old news videos and stuff on YouTube of the Ghostbusters saving New York City in the first movie, but zero mention of them, like, you know, walking the Statue of Liberty through the city in the second movie, you know. So like it felt like the second movie was just completely removed from the canon. I liked it. I won't say it's like the best movie I've ever seen by any escape of the imagination. And I recognized while I was watching it that it was just totally, totally manipulating my nostalgia for the original movie. All, you know, just the little musical cues and references and stuff like that, that definitely just kind of pulled on those heartstrings. But I did enjoy it. Taking the kids home on Sunday, and then from Monday on, this week was hell. I have had a terrible work week. Most days of the week, I was in bed by 7 o'clock. A couple times way earlier. I want to say Thursday, I was in bed by 6. I have made it no secret that I dislike what I do for a living. It is not the most physically taxing job I've ever had by any escape of the imagination. But working insurance claims, fighting against a company like Anthem, trying to get them to pay for things, is just soul-crushing. And you add to that the fact that I no longer can function in an office environment. Like, hearing different people on the phone, hearing different conversations, just hearing general office noise is upsetting. Like, it makes me not feel well. And it also, I have a hard time processing the distractions. And it's been hurting my productivity, and my numbers have been down. And that's the funny thing is like you see a lot of assholes, especially lately in the news, out there saying that we need to get people back to the office. People are more productive in the office, and I am 100% not more productive in the office. My numbers are much better if I'm working from home. Hell, I used to pull down more than the required quota while painting minis working at home. Because, like, while I was on hold or just had a moment, I would slap some paint on a miniature and then go back to work. And then by the time I was done with that, the paint would be dry and I could do the next cover or next color, next layer, whatever. So I've had a really hellish week, which means I haven't done a whole lot of things. The only thing I've done for game planning is my 12-year-old's character in our last game found a book. He found it through Detect Magic, and I picked out what magical book it is. And I wrote a card for me and a card for him for it. That's the most gamey stuff I've done. You know, I played a little bit of Animal Crossing before work in the mornings. Haven't touched Elden Ring. Haven't touched anything. I've just been resting. It didn't help that it was over 90 degrees all week. It's supposed to be cooler today, so it feels nice to have the windows open and some cool air coming in. Because, like right now, according to my phone, the weather is... Sixty-four degrees right now, at 8 in the morning on a Saturday. Yesterday when I left for work, it was 84 degrees already, and I was leaving at 7. So this is a big improvement over the weather we've had this week, and that also had an effect on my ability to do anything, because I come into this hot-ass fucking apartment, and then I begrudgingly turn the air on because I know that the more I run the air, the less money I have for food next month. But I need to because, you know, when you walk into a building and immediately start sweating because it's been closed up and hot, or the air is so hot outside that it doesn't cool off inside at all when you have the windows open, you got to turn the air on. And then by the time it gets cool and comfortable in here, I'm already just completely drained. So I didn't do anything, is the point I'm making. I haven't caught up on the boys. I have about 3 hours left of the finale of Exandria Unlimited Calamity, the Critical Role miniseries finale. I'm really enjoying that, but I just didn't have the time and energy to finish it. But I am in the back half of it. So that's basically been my week. I have a 3-day weekend this weekend, because Juneteenth, the Day of Remembrance of when the slaves were finally legally freed. And I say legally freed because we all know that we didn't turn a light switch in this country and terrible things went away, right? But that's the officially recognized date that it ended, June 19th. My company, because it being a new federal holiday, my company respects that, and we have Monday off in observation of it. So I have a 3-day weekend, and I'm going to use that to get some stuff done. I have some furniture items I still need to finish building before the end of the week. I got to finish the trundle portion of the bed I bought the kids. I have to build the entertainment center for the living room. I'm gonna try to do all that this weekend or this week, but this weekend I'm gonna get a head start on that. But I'm also gonna do some creative stuff because I said it on Facebook a couple days ago that, like, I've spent the last 11 months, 334 days if you're counting, working on me, getting to a point where I no longer hate myself. And actually learning to love myself. And I've done a in my estimation, a really good job of that. Like, I wake up every day in a good mood, ready to go, knowing that the day may not go well, but also excited for the possibility that it might, which is a big difference from the me that used to wake up and go, you know, God damn it, I woke up again. I didn't die in my sleep. And that's literally where I was for years, which sucks because a lot of those years were actually really good times. But I was so depressed and so fighting for my life that I didn't get to fully appreciate those good times. Which is one of the things that really sucks about hindsight being 2020 is I fucking hate the way my life works right now, but at least I'm happy. I would much rather be happy and have life be going good. But I fucked that up. And I said it on Facebook that, like, there's a line that separates me from oblivion, and that is being able to do creative stuff in my off time. I wish I could do it in all my time, because that's when I'm at my best. But, you know, these long weekends and stuff, it's great to throw some paint on some minis, throw some words on a Word document, record a little Animal Crossing stream like I'm going to do after we finish recording and post this. Elden Ring later today, you know, that sort of thing. Like, that's where joy lies for me. So I'm going to make the most of having these 3 days and, knock some shit out. Both material things that I need to fix here in the apartment and creative stuff that I need to do. But that's basically been my week. I'm going to try to get caught up on stuff so that way when I record next week's episode, I'll be able to talk about the two or three episodes of The Boys that I watched and, what I think about a variety of things going on in the world. So let's get into, like, you know, we talked a little bit about it not being E3 season, or as I said, it's not E3 season, but because we had, you know, the Summer Game Fest and a variety of things that came out, and I didn't get to discuss about some of the later stuff. So I want to dive into the stuff that's come out over the last week since we last recorded. Starfield, one of the most hyped, most anticipated games of this year, coming to Xbox and PC via Game Pass, you know, since Bethesda got sucked into the Microsoft family of companies. I think Alana Pierce was the first one to say it on Twitter, and I'm going to just steal her phrasing. Starfield looks like No Man's Skyrim. You know, it is a space exploration RPG. It has a lot of really cool things to it, in my estimation. Like, it's got what looks like pretty interesting space combat, and you can build your own ships and customize your ships. And I'm curious to see how limited that is. Because, you know, a lot of games tell you can build your own ship, but it's like, okay, you have a body and 4 points that you can add things to, and then that's the level of customization, or maybe you can change the paint jobs. So I'm very interested in that. I'm interested in seeing how the combat feels, because I am one of those fools that has, for generations of consoles now, been looking for the next Colony Wars, from back in the PlayStation 2 era. Colony Wars was the shit, and I want that experience again. I just really like the space battle in Colony Wars. You know, the No Man's Sky analog there. Space combat was one of the things that turned me off to that game real early on. And I never went back and played it after they updated it and changed things and all that. I need to do that. Maybe when I get Game Pass, I will. But, like, I really liked the bizarreness of the procedurally generated creatures in No Man's Sky, even the ones that made zero sense. And I liked that, like, I could scan it, name it, and then someone else can come to that same world later and find the thing and see that I named it that. Like, I really dug that aspect of No Man's Sky. But I hated the way the combat felt, both on surface and in space. So I hope that the combat is better in this game. I will admit that I was a little underwhelmed when they showed the on-surface combat, where it just looked like your standard RPG shooter. I don't have anything really against gunplay in games. I mean, I, like many of you, are burnt out by guns in reality because of how often they are used for terrible, terrible things. And Second Amendment conversations, I'll say, and all that. So when I saw that, it was like, oh, cool, he's floating around with little booster jets and shooting guns at people. I was like, this isn't necessarily, like, exciting. You know, the space stuff was way more exciting than fighting pirates with what looked like just a slightly futuristic version of a gun you can see in a Call of Duty game. So hopefully there's more to it than that. Like, I'm not looking for magic powers or anything, or any, like, bio stuff like we had in the Mass Effect series. But, like, I just really don't want combat to be limited to pew, 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 you know? Like, where's my damn laser weapons? I want some actual pew, pew, not bang, bang, bang. Like, that would be at least slightly more satisfying, I guess. I do find it interesting that they went with the decision to make it, there's no space to planet transition, like you can't fly it out of orbit onto the surface and then back out when you're done. The fact that they made the planets and space travel two separate realms, if you will, two separate realities, was an interesting design choice. I'm not going to bitch about it. I'm sure there's a rationale for why they did it that way. I do want to say I think it's a bit silly that people are shocked that it's fucking No Man's Skyrim, as I said. Your character doesn't have a voice, and conversations are handled via dialogue trees, and you pick your response and then listen to the NPC talk to you, just like Skyrim, just like, you know, just about every first-person shooter Bethesda has made. Fallout, all of them. That doesn't shock me. Would have been cool if they went a different route with it. Yeah. Yeah, it would have. Especially if this is like your standard Bethesda RPG where you get to design your character, it would be cool to see conversations and cutscenes sort of things happen outside of your eyes. But I'm not the least bit surprised that it went this way, because like they gave you a voice in Fallout 4, and it wasn't the greatest. So they probably were like, hey, let's go back a step, would be my guess. Because I know a lot of people hated the conversation trees and stuff in Fallout 4. A lot of people hated Fallout 4. So that could be why they did the way they did it. The two things that stick out, though, that I find the most interesting design choices are, they've talked about there being over 1,000 planets to explore, but there's only 4 hub cities. So what's on those other... Assuming there's only one city, like, each of the 4 main cities are on their own planet and they're not sharing planets. What's on those other 996 planets? Is it just open space to explore and kill things and do quests and stuff? Like, is that what the other 996 planets are? I'm just really curious about it. Apparently I'm allergic to my microphone, because every week I sit down and I'm fine, and then I start talking and I start stuffing up. I don't know what the hell that's about. So I'm looking forward to that game. I'm hoping by then I will have been able to finagle a Series X. I've got 5 months. Maybe I can pull it off. Now that I have a couch and I have the appropriate bed situation for the kids, and all I need really is some curtains, a kitchen table set, and some rugs, I feel pretty good about starting to put money aside for other things. Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 are on that list. Also, would be a liar if I said I wasn't trying to get some more shit together for D&D stuff. If you saw my TikTok or my recent post on polynerdic.com, I really want to do some unboxing stuff and some reviews of D&D stuff, being that the only group I play with every other week, we are a 5e group, and like it's not like I have a Vampire the Masquerade or a Pathfinder group to work with to dive into that stuff. So I do want to get my feet wet in the TTRPG space as a content creator with some D&D stuff, and I feel like a really fun, productive way for me to do that would be to like review modules and adventure setting books and things like that. But I don't have the money to support that right now. Like, I can't drop $155 on a booster box brick of the Fizban books or Fizban miniatures. I would love that. I would honestly love to be one of these guys that, you know, WizKids and Wizards of the Coast send stuff to for review. I would like to be that level of content creator. But you have to start somewhere. And unfortunately, when you're starting out, you have to, you know, pull things out of your own pocket. And I say starting out, like I haven't been doing this for years, and I just am such a small-time creator that I'm completely under the radar. But that is something I want to work on. I'm also working on at least getting myself back into Game Pass. You know, even if it's, hey, I have $40, let's buy a 3-month subscription to it, and then I'll have it for 3 months, because I really want to play that Ninja Turtles game that just came out this week. I want to get back into Mass Effect. I want to get back into some of the other stuff. And then, like, you know, the Bethesda-Microsoft showcase from this past week, everything that they put on it comes out in the next 12 months, and almost everything on that presentation was going to be on Game Pass. So I really, 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 really want to get back into Game Pass. I miss it. You know, Elden Ring has been great for the last 2 or 3 months of game time, but, like, I would really like to... I would really like to wrap up Elden Ring, and then I would also like to move forward with other shit. Other things that we saw this week, there is a remake of Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII, the spinoff that I think was originally on the PSP, is now being remade. It's supposed to come out this winter on PlayStation 5. I don't think it's coming to PlayStation 4. I suppose I could check. I do have the internet right here in front of me, and it would be fitting to actually look at things, that I'm talking about. Let's see. Scroll up. Is this it? No, that's the next bit I wanted to talk about. Kids, you know, one of the fun things about being old is sometimes you wake up with indigestion and it just fucks with your ability to be comfortable. So, like, I'm having a hard time just sitting here. While I look at other stuff, let me remind you that Todd Howard did say that Fallout 5 is coming after Elden Ring 6. So maybe in 2 or 3 console generations. There we go. Crisis Core. Final Fantasy VII Reunion. Takes the PSP classic and makes it modern. Sip on my coffee here. What's it coming to? Oh, okay. No, it's coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XX, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. So it's going to be on everything, unlike the Final Fantasy VII Remake sequel, which, by the way, is going to be called Rebirth. And it's not coming till winter of 2023. Which is heartbreaking. But also heartening. Because I don't have a PlayStation 5. I really liked the remake of Final Fantasy VII that came out a couple years ago. On the PlayStation 4. as I no longer have access to the PlayStation 4 because the owner of said PlayStation 4 and I are no longer together, it would be great to have time to get that. So hopefully, by by the time winter 2023 rolls around, I'll have a PlayStation 5. You know, I could have a different job that pays better or be in a completely different financial situation by then. Fingers crossed that if it happens, we'll be okay and I'll have that stuff. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Dragon's Dogma 2 was announced. I personally didn't fall in love with Dragon's Dogma the way some people have. But I am very, 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 very happy for all of the fans of Dragon's Dogma 2 that or of Dragon's Dogma that are going to get a sequel 10 years after the original. I thought it had some really novel ideas. I just didn't really like the way it played. I might go back to it now and love it, but when I played it 10 years ago, I was like, this isn't... I don't understand why people like this. We saw some stuff from the upcoming Diablo 4. They officially announced the fifth out-the-gate character class would be the Necromancer. I played a little bit with the Necromancer in Diablo 3 and loved that class. So I'm glad that it is not going to be DLC with Diablo 4. It's just going to be right out the gate. You can play as him or her. I assume Diablo 4 is going to do the thing where you can be male or female when you pick your character class. But I really did like the Necromancer and its abilities in Diablo 3. So I was thrilled when I saw that video. Scorn, we saw an extended look at that. You know, we learned a couple months ago that it was going to be a first-person shooter. And a couple months before that, we saw that it was going to be very Geiger-esque in design. Lots of weird bio... to it. You know, weapons and creatures that are just horrific to look at. I mean, the video they showed this week showed someone pulling an umbilical cord looking thing out of themselves, and that was kind of feeling just looking at it, like just imagining that. It looks weird and wicked, and I hope it's good. We did get a confirmation that, you know, after seeing some rumors about it, that Hideo Kojima and Xbox are going to be working together finally. He's making a game, as in his words, the game he's always wanted to make, or a game he's always wanted to make. Although he had similar things to say about Death Stranding being the game he always wanted to make, and it being a completely different genre than anything we've ever seen, and it'd be unlike anything we've ever seen, but really, like, there was a lot about Death Stranding that we had seen before. So I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic. I have said it for years that Kojima is a wonderfully creative man. Sometimes I will say his design is genius. Like, I think Metal Gear Solid 2 was a genius geniusly designed game. And I liked the first three Metal Gear Solids a lot. I didn't like some of the later stuff that came out. Metal Gear Solid 5 is probably the biggest disappointment I've ever played out of Kojima. I know a lot of people love it. No hate to you if you do love it or not. It's Metal Gear Solid 5 is in that rarefied air of games like Resident Evil 4, where, like, there are so many people that love it, and I just don't. That being said, I am excited to see what Kojima puts up with the Xbox team. One of my favorite games from 2017, a game that a lot of people... In fact, I don't know anyone else that played it. If you've played this one, let me know in the comments. Serial Cleaner came out in 2017, and it was an environmental puzzle game where you played a guy whose job was to come clean up crime scenes. Not for the police. mind you. Your job was to clean up crime scenes, remove evidence, remove corpses, all of that, all without, in many cases, doing it while the cops were already on site. And it was a blast. I loved it. It's getting a sequel entitled Serial Cleaners, fittingly enough. Serial Cleaner had like a very 70s vibe to it. And from what I've read, Serial Cleaners will have a 90s theme to it, which is great. It is, I'm in that boat, like many of you are, that I have a hard time reconciling the fact that 30 years ago was in the 90s. Like, I still think 30 years ago was the 60s, you know, because I was a child and teen in the 90s, and I didn't hit adulthood till, you know, very beginning of this millennium. You know, graduated high school 2001. So like, it's really hard for me to reconcile the fact that it's fucking, you know, people that were born in 1990 are 32 this year. Like, that's so hard to wrap my mind around. But I'm excited for a 90s era serial cleaner game. That game was fantastic. Just using the environment and misdirection, and because there was no combat, it wasn't like, oh, the cops saw me, now I'm gonna have a shootout with the cops. It was about evasion and stealth while you did your thing. You know, using the environment, misdirections, moving pieces of the environment around to make it so you can get around to a thing, but they can't get to you from where they are. It was a really fun environmental puzzle game, and I just can't stress how excited I am about that. And that's the game stuff I saw that I was excited about. I can't comment on things like Obi-Wan because I haven't watched it yet, or the first couple episodes of Ms. Marvel that have started dropping on Disney Plus. Again, don't have access to that anymore. Was supposed to actually have dinner and hang out with Chelsea on Wednesday this coming week to watch some Obi-Wan and have dinner with her and, you know, just be friends. But it, that may have fallen through due to some changes going on with her. Nothing terrible. Just, you know, she's got stuff going on and might be busy. So I was hoping that this next week's episode, I would have some comments about Obi-Wan. Cause I've heard so many good things and I've read so many bad things. I'm in the camp of, nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans, in quotes. You know, we've discussed this years ago on this show that, like, while I didn't like the Disney Star Wars movies too much, I don't fall in the camp of, like, they're too woke. Like, I find anyone that uses woke as an insult, or uses it unironically to bitch about things, needs their head checked. But it, there were problems with those movies. Like, objectively, they weren't the worst thing ever, and they didn't ruin Star Wars. And there were some really fun scenes in those movies, and some fun story bits. But just like all Star Wars, yes, I said all Star Wars, there are plot holes and things that don't make sense if you think too hard on them. Even the original trilogy, the Holy Trinity, as I've heard family members call it, there are things wrong with them. Like, I seen someone on TikTok the other day bitching about a scene in Obi-Wan where a woman, like, essentially open hand slaps a stormtrooper, and in the clip that they showed, looks like it takes him out. And someone responded to it like, "Do y'all not remember when teddy bears threw rocks at stormtroopers and took them out?" Like, like, Star Wars isn't Shakespeare, man. It's not high cinema. It's meant to be fun and kind of pulpy. It's a space opera. You know, like, it's space wizards, man. It's a it's the weird, how someone describe it the other day. It's like a steampunk, retro-futuristic space wizard story. Like, space story western with some steampunk elements in it. So Star Wars is a bunch of genres all shoved together. And I really want to see the new Star Wars stuff. Like, you put Star Wars stuff out, I want to consume it. And then decide, is it good or is it bad? Like I seen for Pride Month, the official Star Wars account tweeted something about, it looked like a comic book cover. It might be Star Wars Bounty Hunters. That might be the series. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But the characters on the cover were a lesbian couple. And some ass clown responded saying, keep your politics out of Star Wars. And then the Star Wars intern that runs their Twitter brilliantly, just chef's kiss, just mwah, put out that people existing is not political. And I fucking loved it. They also pointed out that Wars is in the title of the brand, and wars are inherently political. And then someone else responded about, are we only going to see leftist ideology, or are we going to start seeing stuff about taxation being theft? And then someone immediately responded with that, with the opening paragraph of one of the prequel movies being about taxation on the Trade Federation being the source of the conflict. And it's like, just those of y'all that like that want to talk about Star Wars being too political, like, you're the same group of people, no doubt, that complained about recent Star Trek stuff being too woke, when you don't have to search too far to see, A, the fact that even in the 60s, it was about a socialist utopian future where mankind got their shit together and were able to go out and explore space because we stopped letting bullshit like capitalism and politics destroy us. You know, like, that was the whole premise of Star Trek, was Earth got its shit together. You know, all of our basic human needs were met, and now we can go out and explore the galaxy. Like, that's the whole fucking premise. But then you can look at more modern ones. Like, there's one of my favorite clips that I've ever seen. It's stills. It's not a clip, but it's of two old friends meeting, and the one greets the other one by a name, and then the other one, who is a woman in the shot, says it's, you know, gives their new name, and then the other one, without skipping a beat, uses the new name in the same sentence. Like, oh, old friend. You know, like, I hate to break it to you, but most science fiction is inherently, to use your term, woke. Most of the dystopian fiction is against the sort of right-wing authoritarianism. Even something like 1984, let's say, which is, you know, very anti-authoritarianism. It's a dystopian nightmare of a book. It was written by Orwell to be like, hey, let's not go the wrong way with this, you know, where you get to the point where history is always changing because there's three countries and two of them are always allied against another one. But whenever the allegiances switch, history is rewritten to make it so that was always the case, you know, like, that's a whole thing we could go on. We can go down that rabbit hole for a long time. I just get really, really worked up when I hear people decry properties like Star Wars and Star Trek getting too woke, too political. And it's like, have you not, the original fucking Star Wars was about rebels taking on an imperial fascist dictatorship. The Empire. Emperor Palpatine. They were the bad guys. They were fascist. They were space Nazis. They were the bad guys. It's inherently political. It's inherently left-leaning. Hate to break it to y'all that don't get it by now, and I would assume that if you've listened to me at all prior and have stuck with me, you know that the vast majority of art is left-leaning. Comic books, novels, movies, video games, lots of music. Artistic types tend to be more left-leaning. And I've read a number of studies about it, and it has something to do with the fact that people that are creative types and artistic types typically have more empathy than your average conservative type. Yes, there are conservative artists. You can find them. Andrew Klavan, conservative artist, actually written some decent books. What's his name? Vince Flynn, I think, something like that. Tom Clancy-esque sort of novels. There are conservative artists who put out, to an extent, enjoyable reads up until they, you know, they get their politics in it. Which is, I know, and that's me saying it, like, I get it if you are right-wing conservative type that you're not going to enjoy seeing leftist politics thrown in your face and stuff. I get it, because when I read a thing that's written by one of these right-wing artists that I just mentioned, the few that are out there, it does irk me a little bit when their personal leanings show through. I get it, but that's because, once again, it's the same argument I had with my mother a year and a half ago, that there's a difference between an opinion being like, I think tax dollars should be spent for this. I think we should fund housing and schools more than we fund the military. That's a difference of opinion. Whereas when you get down to things like women shouldn't have bodily autonomy or there should not be any sort of reasonable gun control, that's a different thing. You're edging out of difference of opinion and in more into an authority. I don't want to make this about that sort of politics. You know how I feel. You know how I feel if you've listened to me up to this point. The last thing I want to talk about is something negative. So feel free to leave now if you're not into this sort of thing. If you're not into the D&D space and controversies within it, you're welcome to leave now. Or come back at the end for the exit bit in case you need reminders of where I'm at. This past week, we saw controversy in the D&D space when it became apparent through a litany, like a literal waterfall of just a downpour of allegations that Satine Phoenix and her husband, Stone Jameson, were abusive to people. And it wasn't necessarily just people in the TTRPG space. One of the accounts I saw early on was from a tattoo artist. But then when his story came out, it was just person after person after person that have worked with them professionally on a variety of different things. Maze Arcana and their siren song stuff that they do. I don't have a dog in the fight personally. I don't know Satine Phoenix or Stone Jameson. I've never worked with them. Again, going back to the fact that I'm a nobody in the internet. But I will admit that Satine was on my list of people that I would like to eventually have interviewed. She seemed fascinating, her whole journey. If you're interested in her journey, you can read it yourself. I'm not going to recap it. Stone, on the other hand, I never really got a good vibe for. He struck me as a bit of like a gym bro kind of guy, masquerading as a friend. And that's just my read on him. To use the modern parlance that I like to use a lot, just based on what I saw of his social media and who he was, that he didn't pass my immediate vibe check, which, you know, has been wrong. There's sometimes that vibe is off initially, and then I actually talk to somebody, and it's like, oh, wow, they're actually really cool. But it was disheartening to see all these people that have been abused and taken advantage of, financially, verbally, shady business practices, Like, I don't know enough about how writing in the tabletop space works to have personal experience with it, but I saw a number of people calling out that anytime anyone words the contract where it can be inferred or flat out stated that, like, they're going to pay you based on the edited word count, not the word count you submit, that's a problem, and that happened. Just lots of really, really disheartening tales of verbal abuse and gaslighting and threats, you know, tantamount to, like, blacklisting sort of things is what it looked like on some of the stuff I read. In fact, I think there was a thing going around of them having a blacklist of people to never work with again. Just a lot of unprofessional content while also accusing other people of being unprofessional. And it's the sort of thing that, like, on a very big scale, because Satine and, to an extent, Stone have been on official Wizards of the Coast things. Like, they have a presence in this space. And, in fact, this past weekend, after all this stuff broke, they were here in Ohio at a convention up in Columbus. And it was the sort of thing that, like, if had I known they were going to be there, it would have been an exciting thing to get to talk to them, especially, like I said, Satine. But then at the same time, to see all these horrible things coming out, it's like, well, I'm glad I never got to know these people. You know, I won't say I'm desperate to be a known face in the tabletop world, but I will say that I do have hopes and dreams and aspirations of getting to be on an actual play. Like, I don't have the means to run one of my own. Like, I don't want to scrape together the few associates I have that play D&D and do a show that's a 99% white male cast, you know? I don't want to DM an actual play. I want to play in an actual play show. I'm not confident enough as a DM to be the one running the game. And that's largely because the internet's a cesspool, you know, and I don't want to have my very, very, very rookie DM skills be put on display so some assholes on the internet can talk shit about me, you know. It would be a different thing for my extremely rookie D&D play to be critiqued, because I'm not the one running the game at that point, you know. And plus, I just really want to play a game. I want someone to run a game for me, damn it. As much as I love running the game for my table, I want to be the one that is being given the surprises and the swerves in the story. You know, I want to be a character in the story, not the architect of the story. And so that is a dream of mine, to come back to the center point here. You know, it's a dream of mine to get to know streamers and personalities in the tabletop space. Some of my favorite streamers are also tabletop players. I would love to play with someone like, you know, Classy Katie and the people at Table Story. Pumpkinberry and all them. I would love to be included in that sort of thing. But this happens every so often where, you know, someone that is a respected member, whether they're on Satine's level or not, you get these, it's almost weekly at this point, where someone comes out that everyone thought was a good person, and they're a manipulator or an abuser, or even worse, not that this happened with Satine and Stone, but they're, you know, a sexual predator in the space. It happens so often, and it's always heartbreaking. Because some of the people that have been outed are people that I have had minimal contact with. Like, not enough to ever say I know them, but I've at least spoke to them or had exchanges on social media. And then I find out that this person that I was starting to, like, really like and working up the nerve to try to work with, ends up being a terrible person. And then you get something on this level where it's like, wow, even people that have quote unquote made it can be outed as terrible people. And it's just really disheartening. And as an introvert who already struggles to have that energy to put myself out and go, hey, my name's Shad, I want to be your friend, let's do some stuff. It always sets me back on my heels. You know, like, I'm always afraid, like, I've talked about it on here before, that I want to interview people. I want to make that part of the show. I don't want it to be, you know, just me talking to this microphone for an hour every week, or getting a friend on, you know, once every year or so. I want to regularly talk to people that I don't know, both because it would help me grow socially, help me grow as a human being, and make me better at socializing, because I'm terrible at it. And also just to be comfortable enough to be like, hey, B Dave, I want to talk to you on the podcast. Are you free? Like, can we get that together? I have a little podcast. I want to talk to you for an hour about D&D and stuff. Or hey, you know, this other streamer, let's say, I mentioned her already, Classy Katie. I want to talk to you for a little bit. I want to be able to do that without fear. I want to be in a spot where I can reach out to people I don't know without overwhelming fear. Fear will probably always be there because of social anxiety, but I don't want it to be inhibiting like it is. And every time one of these things happens, it scares the shit out of me, and it pulls me back into my shell a little bit. Because, like, Satine, as she presented herself, seemed really cool, and, like, it would be a cool person to talk to. Other people I won't name because I don't keep a list, that have had similar controversies come up, always seemed really cool, and, like, they would be a good source of knowledge, both for myself personally. Like, if I could sit down and talk to an experienced DM, and have a, you know, a one-on-one with them, I could learn. I could not only improve this podcast with, you know, with guests and it not just be me monologuing for an hour, but I could also learn as a DM, as a player of tabletop RPGs. And then, of course, while I'm learning, listeners could be learning too. Like, it's not entirely self-serving. I want that for this program, for what I do. And every time one of these controversies comes up, it ends up just scaring the shit out of me. Like, I feel terrible for the people that were taken advantage of and abused. Nobody should put up with that. No one should be asked to put up with that. That's not excusable. You know, a lot of people like to lean on mental illness and trauma and stuff to justify why they were shitty to people. But that's not cool. That doesn't fly. I just want everybody to be cool. And I know that's not going to ever happen. I have such high hopes for humanity. Don't fucking cry about it. Like, I just want people to be cool to each other. Like, it drives me nuts that so many of my supposed friends are shitty to me about things. I've got a number of them that only interact with me in a negative manner on social media. Like, I express an opinion, and the only time they interact is when they have something negative to say about that opinion. To the point that there's a lot of them that I have restricted on, like, Facebook. I just want people to be cool. I want people to present themselves as they are, so we know who is cool and who isn't. I don't have the energy or the capacity for fucking game playing. Well, you know, social game playing. I'll play video games and tabletop games all day long. I have all the energy for that. I just want people to be legit. Be honest. Be forthright. If you're a shitty human being, present yourself as a shitty human being so I can tell you to fuck off and move on. Like, I've always said, everything I do is authentically me. You know, everything I post, everything I repost is fucking authentically me, because if I'm reposting it, I agree with it. And when you only interact with me in a negative manner, I'm aware of that. I've got a couple friends that interact with me regularly on and off social that are generally positive people, and I love that about them. And I know I'm not the greatest friend, because I'm socially aloof and closed off, and I often don't have energy or spoons to even have a conversation via text, and almost never over the phone. And I know that's frustrating for them. But again, I'm also honest about that. I've never once told anybody that I'm not that person, that I struggle with socializing. And that's just what I want from the world. At the very beginning, you know, very base level stuff. Show me who you are from the beginning. It's one of the reasons why I hate dating. Because nobody wants to put out who they are immediately. You know, like if I get the sense immediately upon meeting you that I can't be unapologetically me, I don't want to deal with you. And I also don't want to have the first version of you I meet not be you. You know what I mean? Like, don't fucking blow smoke up my ass and pretend that you're into things I'm into or whatever just to for whatever manipulative thing you've got going on in your head, only for me to find out, you know, months to years later that you were never that person. I've danced that dance before. I don't want to do it again. I don't have the energy for it. I'm fucking 39 years old. I don't have the energy or the time. I'm on the back nine of life right now, you know, like, it doesn't take any sort of, like, lengthy searching to figure out that, like, I am now of an age where it is not uncommon for, like, sudden adult death syndrome to happen. You know, like, I know I have medical issues. I don't know if I've got another 39 years in me. I don't have time to waste on people that can't be honest and forthright. And every time one of these abuse cases come up, it just reminds me of that. That too many people don't present themselves honestly. Too many people don't come out and say, this is who I am. And I know why. Because in the cases of people that do abusive stuff in industries, they don't do it because they can't succeed in that industry if they're honest with people about who they are. And that's the problem. I fucking hate when people build an audience, when people have a thriving, successful career, and they're just shitty human beings. I fucking cannot stand that. People need to be better. All of us. I need to be better, you need to be better, they need to be better. Dishonest and bad actors need to be outed. Manipulators, abusers need to be dealt with. I just want people to be good. I want people to be chill. I want people to thrive. I don't want people to just barely survive. Because that's what we are now. That's one of the stressors right now. It's one of the reasons why I'm worked up about this. You know, I just seen this excellent Ethan Hawke interview clip where he is talking about the importance of creativity and how that, you know, creativity is an incredibly valuable thing about being human. But it can only really happen when we're thriving. Like, if we're not having our survival needs met, art doesn't happen. And that's the world we're in right now. Everything's more expensive. You know, I make more money hourly than I have ever made my entire life, and I have less money in my pocket. I have no safety net. And it makes it incredibly hard to do things. Hence why I slept all week. Got off work, came home, ate dinner, slept. And I know I'm not the only one that's struggling with that. I know I'm not the only one that's struggling to just exist. And so when we have our moments of escape get ruined by abusive personalities, it just brings all that up again to the surface. Like, we're trying to escape the shittiness of reality, and then you're bringing shittiness of reality into the space. We all deserve better than that. That's my screed. That's my soapbox. I don't even know if screed's a word. What the fuck did I just say? That is my soapbox rant. on the situation. Like, it sucks that these people that seemed, you know, interesting and talented and like they would be great to work with ended up just screwing over so many people financially, verbally, mentally, emotionally. They all deserve better. And we, as like this argument came up a lot over the last week, where a lot of people use the term D&D community or tabletop community. And some people feel that we should start using industry instead. And my problem with that is like, even if you want to refer to it as an industry and not a community, because I prefer community over family. There was, for weeks and months, there were people that wanted to say family, tabletop family, D&D family. And that's too much for me. I like community as a whole. I think that's a valuable way to frame it. I think industry is too cold. And I think when you refer to it as an industry, it almost excuses bad actors. Because industry, by its nature, is not caring, is not welcoming, is not a community. It's about money. And I know it's very easily done to just dismiss everything and make it about money. But like I've said it before hundreds, if not millions of times, that I don't give a fuck about money. I hate that life is boiled down to the imaginary thing that is currency. Like, survival should not be commodified. Housing should not be commodified. Food should not be commodified. Healthcare should not be commodified. Utilities should not be commodified. Education should not be commodified. Your abundance of an imaginary thing should not prevent you from not only surviving but thriving. Like, money is free to exist. I understand the idea of money existing because goods and services, right? Like, you don't need an Xbox Series X to survive, but you should be able to make the money to be able to buy one because you want one. But there's a big difference between something you don't need to survive, like an Xbox, and something you do need to survive, like healthcare, food, and housing. That's why I don't want to see it called an industry. Like, it is an industry. Yes, there's money involved. People are making livings. There are big multi-fucking billion-dollar companies involved in it. So, yes, the tabletop industry does exist. But I prefer community over industry. Like, there is going to be some overlap there. But I just truly feel that when you start trying to make it just an industry, just about money, just about progress, just about profit, it kind of excuses the shitty behavior, because at that point, like, it gets very, very Machiavellian, and it becomes the ends justify the means. And I don't like that at all. I fucking rail against that. If there's ever a machine to rage against, it's that, you know, like, people should be able to live. People should be able to thrive and create. And people should be able to find a sense of community. Because, you know, found family is the best family. I will go to my grave believing that. When you find people that become your community, to pull family out of it again, that is the best feeling in the world. When you find people that are legit and honest and open, and you have a common bond, that is the best feeling in the world. You know, I've loved video games my entire life, and the best gaming era for me has been the ones where I feel like part of a community. When my channel was growing leaps and bounds in 2020 because of Animal Crossing New Horizons, that was my favorite time in recent memory of gaming, because I could sit down and play my silly little Animal Crossing game and people would come in and talk, and it was fun, and I had regulars, and the channel was growing, and we were building a community, the polynerdic community, the nerdy neighbors were growing. Go back almost a decade to when I was playing Battlefield 3 with a group, and we got on every night, and we played every night. You could find different members of the group together playing. That was one of the best times. Yeah, there were some toxic elements in that group that made it less good than it could have been. But generally speaking, we were bonding, we were playing, we were socializing. It was great. Community is where it's at. We are social creatures. We are meant to be connected to each other. We are meant to have community. It is just our nature. That can be good and bad thing, you know, when you're starting into more like tribal behavior, which the tabletop space sees plenty of as well. You know, just like you've got your Sony ponies and your Xbox and your PC Master Race assholes, which I can't stand that they use Master Race as a moniker. You got those assholes, and then you got your, oh, I only play D&D. D&D's the best. Or I only play 3.5. It's the only acceptable D&D. Or I only play Pathfinder. Or I only play this. I only play that. Why are you playing that? That game sucks. You should play this game. It's better. That sort of tribalization happens a whole lot in communities, which is where it gets bad. But in general, community is good. We all have the need to feel like we belong. And I wish people would quit manipulating that for their own gain. Whether it's fame or profit or both. And that's going to be the end of... Now that will be the end of my soapboxing. We've gone over an hour. I need to get a drink. I need to use the restroom. I need to post this and get it ready to go for today. Because normally I've already posted by now. But I woke up a little late because it's the weekend. Why not? And I will be back next week with another episode of the Ordinary Podcast. Thank you for joining me. As always, you can find me all over the internet. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I have a subreddit. We have a Discord that I barely use. I need to get better about that. But every time I try to use it, it just goes nowhere. So if you want to join the Discord and help grow things, go for it. That was one of the biggest pieces of advice I've ever received from another streamer, was that I needed to let my Discord community grow itself and quit trying to be the face and voice of it. Like, it's cool that they're all there under my umbrella, but I can't be greeting everyone immediately and can't be responding to everyone and all that stuff. Which I was just trying to be polite and welcoming. I didn't realize that that was a bad thing. But yeah, we have the Discord. We have that stuff. You can support us via Patreon, Ko-fi, and on Twitch. We have, you know, we're an affiliate, so we can get subs and bits there. Always trying to grow that stuff. I hope after you listen to this hour-long thing, you're not tired of this voice, and you want to come hang out while we play video games. Today we'll be playing Animal Crossing and Elden Ring. In the near future, once I get Game Pass back up, we're going to take a look at some of that Game Pass goodness again, because I personally miss it. That was the only way I was playing new games, was through the brilliance that is Game Pass. So I kind of want to get back to that. But yeah, that's this week's episode. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being one of the nerdy neighbors, whether you're new here or a long timer. And I will see you next week or on the stream. Come what may, right? Anyway, I'm rambling. I gotta go. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.